Praise God. God is a good God. Like I said, the crusade team, they just finished a meeting in Kissimmee, Florida, which is right over in Orlando area, right by Disney World. And then they're headed to Savannah, Georgia. I think it's called the Seed Church or Seeds Church, something like that. And so they're starting tonight. So I'm sure they're going on right now. And so continue to pray for them. And, you know, I tell you, you know, people's lives are being changed. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible or your device, turn your Bible or device to 1 John chapter 4. I'm reading from the New Living Translation at first. We're going to look at some things from New Living and also things from the Passion Translation. And, you know, just the other day, I was reading 1 John 4, and I kind of came upon some things that I just want to you know, Wednesday night's kind of like a Bible study, so we're going to study 1 John 4, all right, mainly verse 4. And what I was looking at first is you know, 1 John 4, 4 says, the New Living Translation says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So greater is he that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world." Now, we've heard that over and over again. We get all excited about it. Except for whenever you're facing an issue, then you forget about that. You forget about the greater mentality. Actually, I have a CD out there called The Greater Mentality. I just don't like listening to it. Maybe you will, but because I recorded it like 1993, and I sound so young, I hate my voice. But anyway, it's a good message. But I tried listening to it the other. It's available on MP3 as well. You know, sometimes I say CD. We also have an MP3 available on most all our messages. But anyway, it's interesting when New Living says this. It says, you know, of course, obviously we know we belong to God. But it says, you have already won a victory over those people. You know, you have a different mentality whenever you've already won a victory or when you're still fighting a battle. So if every battle, or when I say battle, it's just the only battle I can really think about because it's sports. All right, so think about this. Think about, I don't know how awesome it was every time. I played football a lot, I mean, growing up. So what about, I mean, how awesome it would be is every time that I stepped on the football field, I already knew I was going to win at the end of the game. Now, the other side about it is, I mean, you would act differently. Yes. You know, because, you know, and it might be 44 to nothing in the fourth quarter. I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm still winning. You know. Of course, maybe you wouldn't try because you already know you're going to win. So maybe that's bad. But the thing about it is we need to realize we're always a winner. Amen. The Bible uses the word we're always triumphant in Christ Jesus. There is nothing, and nothing is compound word, meaning no thing, that's going to stop us from winning. Even the devil himself. If we know who's on the inside of us. And, you know, the inside of us, the greater one, I mean, you know, that's the Spirit of living God's on the inside of us. We have other scriptures for that. You know, so the greater one is on the inside of me. And I was getting excited about that, and I do get excited about that. You know, and sometimes when we really need to read that is when we're facing a battle. Whenever, you know, because sometimes what happens is we read these scriptures when nothing's going on, and it's like, okay, you know, good. But we need to read the scriptures whenever you need that scripture. You need to remind yourself that the greater one's on the inside, and the things that are coming against you are only temporal. But as you know, and I didn't tell them with my scripture, but as you know, I read John 10:10 a lot. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, he's going to come at you all the time. But you need to know that even though he comes at you, you have already been victorious according to 1 John 4:4. So no matter, you know, he can come at you, he can do whatever. And I like to, using a sports analogy, I like to say this, the devil's just talking smack. A lot of people talk smack, but they can't put up, you know, they'll talk the talk, but they can't, you know, they can't stand behind it. They're just talking, you know. But the thing about it is you need to understand the greater one is on the inside of you. But I said all this to say that that's not my message tonight. That's just an awesome thing. All right, but that's not really what I'm going to get to, but I want to remind you of that. Going on, let's read verse 5. It says this, those people belong, those people belong to this world. He's talking about the people who live in the world. The people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. So, you know, here's the thing. What John is saying here is don't look at things from the world's viewpoint. The world's viewpoint. And you know, sometimes we, well, what's the world's viewpoint? Well, the world's viewpoint is we're having hyperinflation and God cannot provide all your needs. Yeah. That's the world's viewpoint. And I don't care which news station you listen to, they'll tell you about it every day. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're listening to the real news, the fake news, anybody else's news. They're telling you every day that inflation's bad, it's terrible. I mean, you're spending more money. We don't see how people are going to make it. People are becoming homeless and this and that and everything else. And that is happening. See, what they're doing, they're speaking what the world's viewpoint. But whenever we speak, we have to speak from God's viewpoint. God's viewpoint is my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's God's viewpoint. So we need to quit, you know, we need to get our mindset and our eyes off the viewpoint of the world and onto the viewpoint of God. Now, that's still not what I want to get to, but it's really good, but it also is going to go into what I'm going to get to. So our viewpoint matters. Everything that we see and everything that we do needs to come from God's viewpoint. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to talk about reality today. Reality, that's not my real scripture either, but reality is that sometimes at first we look at things from the world's viewpoint, but we need God to knock us into spirituality. You know, because what happens is, okay, I'll give you an illustration. You go to the mailbox, you going through your bills, and thank God that no people aren't voting anymore, so I don't have to see the other 50 million, you know, vote for this guy, don't vote for that guy, you know, all that kind of stuff, because that's been filling up our thing. But so then you find what you don't really want to open, a bill. And then you open the bill, and then if you're like me, you know, you have your bank account on your app, and you're like, man, I owe this bill. Here's what I have in my bank account. This is... You start thinking from a world's viewpoint. How am I going to pay this bill? How many of you have done that before? Now, at that point in time, that's when the Spirit of God is going to kick in and say, you know what? Trust in me. All right? So, you know, the thing is, it's natural. Sometimes, you know, what happens is naturally we'll think from the world's viewpoint. But, you know, if we need to start training ourselves or, quote, unquote, renewing our minds to think God's viewpoint, you know, and the more you do it, the more it's easier for you not even to think the natural thought. But I don't care who you are, there are some times that you're going to have natural thoughts. I mean, there are some times that, you know, you're going to let human nature come out. But the thing is, we need to understand when human nature comes out, we need to say, no, that's not, I mean, I don't know how many times, and you know, I've had to work on some things, but when I speak a statement that's not a faith statement, you know, I'll say it and then it starts bugging me. No, I don't mean that. You know, it's like, you know, I will say that I used to be guilty a lot, and I don't know I don't think I've said it for a long, long time, actually. I mean, you know, I don't know. Almost every day I've said, man, I'm tired. And you know what? It just makes me more tired. And so I decided to quit talking about how tired I am, you know, because, you know, we can have what we say. We should know that. Anyone that grew up reading the books from our ministry and hearing the messages from our ministry should know you can have what you say. And that's why, and sometimes in life you're having things you don't want because you keep saying them. You keep saying them, you know. I actually, on my way here, I was talking to an individual, and they were talking about, you know, they're talking about to another individual today. Actually, this person happens to be in real estate, and they're talking to another realtor, and the realtor was talking about, you know, when I got involved in real estate, I was selling things and selling things and selling things, but I knew at some point in time I would hit the wall, and now I've kind of hit the wall, and things aren't going good, you know, all this stuff, and I just don't know how to get out of it. And this person, being a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, Bible-believing person, says, well, you shouldn't ever say you're going to hit the wall. See, he said, you're the one that made yourself hit the wall because you said you were going to hit the wall and you had what you said. So you need to quit saying you're going to hit the wall. And see, but we sometimes do those kind of things unintentionally. You know, I never have enough money. You know, man, it's tough. Life is tough. Well, you know what? If you think life is tough, it's going to keep getting tough. You know, how tough is it? You have the greater one on the inside of you. How tough can life be? I feel sorry for those people that don't have the greater one. I feel sorry for people that don't know God. That, and maybe if they do know God, but they don't know what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of people that you know, they've got their boarding pass to heaven one day, but they don't ever know that they can reign here on the earth. They don't know that their greater one lives on the inside of them. They don't know that they've already won a victory through Christ Jesus. You know, I feel sorry for those people. You know, so how can life be tough whenever the greater one lives on the inside of you? I've never figured that out. Just like I've never figured out, and I'm not, you know, I get it. There are some people that go through times of loneliness, but you're never alone. The Bible is clear on that. You're never alone. It says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you realize you never live 1 minute of the day or 1 second of the day being alone from God? I don't care if you're Tom Hanks in the Castaway movie and all you have is a volleyball, you're still not alone. Now, you might feel alone, but you're not, because God is always with you. And he's always leading you, guiding you, helping you, getting you through the thing. So now I want to get what I really want to get to. It's interesting because the next verse, and this is verse number 7, says this from the New Living. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the title of the message today is God is Love. Because I was actually thinking about this, you know, the Bible says God is love, and what does that mean? Well, you know what? If the greater one is on the inside of you, that's the Spirit of living God. So guess, and God is love. So doing the math, love lives on the inside of you. All right, because I've heard people tell me, man, Craig, I struggle with my love walk. Well, then my next statement to them, because I'm Craig, was, so you struggle with your God walk? Oh, no, I don't struggle. Well, according to the word, if God is love, you struggle with your love walk, you're struggling with your God walk. Now, I know no one's going to be shouting, and I didn't see the Rhema run that on this, you know. But it's the rhema of truth. Because you should never struggle with your love walk, because if you do, you're struggling with your God walk. Because God is love. And just like the greater one's on the inside of you, the love of God is on the inside of you. It says in another area, it said the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Well, if it's shed abroad in your heart, let it come abroad on the outside sometimes too. Now, you have the capacity to love. Now, I think my grandfather used to say something like, I'm a love child of a love God, or something like that. I think what the statement he would make. Is that what it is? You know, but we don't act like it. We don't really act like. Now, here's the thing. I get it. You know, there are times that we might get angry or let our flesh, you know, out for someone. You know, I've got angry at people, but I've never been able to hold a grudge against them. I mean, usually pretty much once I get it out, I'm done. We're good. We're good. I had an angry moment and I wanted to let you know about it. You know, but I'm fine. I don't hate you, you know, because I don't have the capacity to hate you, because God doesn't have the capacity to hate you. Now, I know that's really a tough statement, but God doesn't have the capacity to hate you. And if God is on the inside of me and God is love, that means love is on the inside of me. So I don't have the capacity to hate you. And, so sometimes I wonder, and I'm not also here to judge, but I'm also online all the time, especially on Facebook. And to read some really good Christians post, some people that are ministers, I'm thinking, do they really even have God on the inside of them? I mean, you know, do you realize a lot of Christians say a lot of hateful stuff? And I'm not, you know, a lot of judgmental stuff. You know, we don't hate people. In fact, I remember, my grandfather had told me from a young age that we're not allowed to hate anybody except for the devil himself. That's the only person you're allowed to hate. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that you might jive with everybody and everyone's your best friend, but you just don't hate them. And that's why I always say, this is, you know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've seen people, you know, and especially young kids, you know, understand, in my life, I've done youth ministry, young adult ministry, I was actually figuring it up. Ever since I started ministry, I've been with the youth or young adults. I actually started out doing 18 to 22 singles. Right across the street, we had our School of Bible class, and which is pretty awesome, I think. We had like 200 some odd people. We actually had to move to SDC 1278 because we had too many people for the FAC over there. That's where the youth used to meet over there. And so that's where I started. But I've heard a lot of young people and a lot of children or youth and even my own kids, you know, to get mad at someone, you know, whatever. I'm not saying I've heard my kids say that, but maybe they haven't said these words, but I've heard people say the word, they'll tell someone to go to hell. All right. That's the worst cuss word you can ever say. I mean, I'd just rather you just blankety, 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 blank all you want. And, you know, you can fill the blanks in because I'm not going to do that from a public setting, okay? But you can say all the words that you're not supposed to say, because to tell someone to go to hell means you want them to burn for an eternity. That's not love. Now, I get it. You know, a lot of times when they say that, they don't really mean that. But, you know, you should say what you mean and mean what you say. And, you know, and the thing about it is, I don't know sometimes if we realize that the greater one's on the inside of us. And the greater one's on the inside of us is also full of love. All right? Let's go over to the Passion Translation. And it says it this way, verse 7. It says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. Because God is love, and everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. So maybe that's the thing. You haven't ever experienced an intimate knowledge of God. That's why you're struggling with your love walk. You need to know God. You need to understand God. But I love it. It says, let his love continually pour from you to one another. Well, continually pouring means it's like a waterfall that never runs out. I mean, you know, I don't know how many, I've actually been to Niagara Falls a number of times, and not one time have I ever been to Niagara Falls where there wasn't falls in water coming down. It continuously happens 24/7, 365, and if it happens to be leap year, 366 days. It continuously is trickling down. There's trickling, you know, there's water coming down, you know, all the time. Well, according to the Passion Translation, we should continuously have the love of God come out of us toward mankind all the time. You know, and when you do, it just feels better to love people than it does to hate them. Yeah. Do you know, it actually, when you love people, there's no contention. When you hate people, man, I mean, it just tears you up on the inside. It makes you mad, makes you angry, makes you whatever, makes you write things on on social media that you probably should never write. You know, that's the thing. If you're really mad at somebody, and you know, and especially if you're married to them, I'm gonna just give a pastoral point. Stay off social media. I thank God some of these people actually, you know, that write some of these things. I said, man, if they're writing this stuff sober. Thank God they're not an alcoholic, because who knows what they would be writing, you know, down there. So, you know, please, this is an awesome tip. Awesome tip. If you're mad at somebody, and I don't care how mad you are, please stay off social media talking about them. And if you want to, if you just feel you need to share something on social media, I'm going to give you a statement to say, just share this. God is good. Or God is love. And you're not going to get in trouble by those kind of things. You know? And if you have to, maybe, and if you want to put their name on anything, you should say, I love whoever that person is. All right? That's all you can say. So no one's going to get mad at you for loving them. Because God loves whatever the person's name is. Now, I hope I help somebody tonight, you know. And please don't be stupid. And if you need, go get the book, read it 3 times, all right? And, you know, because, I don't know, I've just read some posts on social media that I'm like, man, please don't do that. I mean, you know, because they're going to regret that. It's really hard to overcome some of these things. And that's not God-like. Now, maybe you didn't grow up in the 90s, you know, or you weren't a child of the 90s, and I'm a child of the 80s, but in the 90s we had this saying, WWJD. You remember that? What would Jesus do? So I'm going to say WWJP. What would Jesus post? What would Jesus tweet? All right. Because maybe that might help you. Is this something that Jesus would say if he had an Instagram or he had a Facebook or he had a Twitter account or he didn't like anybody else so he got on Truth Media to be with Donald Trump? You know, Jesus probably wouldn't say any of those things. But Jesus would say, hey, I always think when I think about Jesus, people say, yeah, but look what these people have done to me. Look, they've said this about me. They've done this about me. I think about Jesus hanging on the cross. You know, they're mocking him and spitting on him and doing all kinds of stuff. And what was his reaction? Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing. That's what Jesus would do. He would love people even when they were mean to him, when they disrespected him, when they discarded him. That's ultimately the love of Jesus. See, that's what I strive to do. No matter what people say, no matter what people do, I still want to love them. Because that's what Jesus, and so if I have the love of God continuously pouring out of my heart, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, because people want to use an excuse. Well, this is what this person did to me, so I'm going to retaliate. I've never read that scripture in the Bible. I don't know where that is, you know. It's definitely not in 1 Craig. You know, if people are rude to you, retaliate to them and feel good about it. I've never heard that scripture. It's not you know, it's not part of the Ten Commandments. It's not the golden rule, you know, but you know, it's the rule of a fool. That's what it is. And that's what we do a lot of times. Going on, I'm back to the Passion Translation. You know, well, I want to point out, it says, everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. We should all have an intimate, so we should know how God acts. See, if I have an intimate knowledge of someone, so I'll put it this way. I mean, this is, you know, I have an intimate knowledge of the way my parents think, all right? And I'll say 95% of the time, you know, maybe 98% of the time, if you tell me something, it happens all the time. People have to bounce ideas. So, Craig, what do you think your parents will think about this idea? And usually I can nail what they will think because I have an intimate knowledge of my parents. I also have an intimate knowledge of trying to rationalize and get an idea that I have that they don't, I know they're not going to like, you know, and get it across. So I can give psychology how to sell your idea. And, you know, and one thing is to knock holes in your idea before you even present it. So that way you have all the answers to the questions that they're going to ask you about why and tell you why your idea won't work. And so you can actually tell them, well, I thought about that. And this is what I, you know, think or whatever. I know how they think. Now, there are some things, you know, I don't know, in life that I'm like, you know, that's not going to fly. They're not going to say yes. And so there's no reason for you to even work on that and waste your time, the ministry's time, because they're not going to say yes. You know, because I have an intimate knowledge of my parents. Just like we should have an intimate knowledge of God and how much he loves people, how much he cares for people. And, you know, God can't be happy with some of us sometimes by the way we speak. And once again, going back to your parents, remember the old rule that actions speak louder than words? Because sometimes what we'll say, we'll tell someone, hey, I love you, brother. And then we'll go, you know, they walk away and you go talk to somebody else. And you're not talking love about that person. You know, it's whatever. Sometimes we don't think we're gossiping, but we are gossiping. And gossiping is not good. Anyway, going on, because I only got six more. Whatever. It says, the one who doesn't love, this is verse number 8, the one who doesn't love yet to know God, for God is love, the light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world that we might live through him. You know, and that comes down to John 3:16. And if you read that from the New Living Translation, it says, this is how God loved the world. This is how he loved the world. He gave us Jesus, basically. And so that's how he loves the world. And since I only have 5 minutes, I'm going to skip up to what I really want to get to. You realize that we should always show forth love, but we also have to realize that we are God's hands and his feet. Do you realize that? And so, you know, a lot of times, I was actually thinking about this today. A lot of times when we talk about how much God loves us, how much he cares, you know, about us. And a lot of times, so, you know, there are times that we're believing God for something, and maybe especially the financial realm or whatever. And, you know, when God meets our need, we will say, man, God is so good. But, you know, especially in the financial realm, God met your need, but it was through some person. Do you realize that? So if you're believing God for, you know, if you needed $500, and if someone met your need and gave you that $500, whether you knew them or that was an anonymous gift, someone did it. No, God didn't do it. Now, God might have led them to do it, but God didn't specifically do it. It was because an intimate knowledge, you know, because God spoke in someone's heart. And so, you know, here's the thing. The way that God shows forth his love to mankind is using people. You know, I want to be used of God. Now, it doesn't mean that wherewithal, you know, sometimes it doesn't take money. Sometimes, you know, it's you made a phone call at the right time when somebody was hurting. And, man, it was like, man, thank you. I mean, just yesterday I had an individual who actually just wrote me, another minister. We have a close relationship. He didn't know anything going on in my life. And he says, Craig, I've just been praying. I mean, you've been on my heart the last couple of days. I've just been praying in the spirit for you. And, you know, I hope everything's okay. I just want to let you know that I'm praying for you. I love you. And I mean, it meant so much. You know what? God loves me so much that he knows the things I'm going through. And he sent someone who has no knowledge of what I was going through to pray for me. You know, but see, God loves me, so he used another person to show forth his love. Man, if we really want to be used by God, and we can show forth love to people, you know, and that's how God's using us to show forth love. And it's because God is love, and greater is he that's in me. And so love is on the inside of me. And it goes on to say, most of you probably read it and maybe haven't, but it goes on to say that if you don't love your brother, then you can't love God. Because God is love. You know, so please don't tell me you have trouble with your love walk. Because I am going to answer, then you have trouble with your God walk. Because God is love. I mean, love defines God. I mean, you know, ultimately the whole basis of the New Testament is God loving the world so much that he sent Jesus to ultimately die on the cross, you know, and be sacrificed. And you realize these Jewish people chose not a good man, you know, a criminal, and said, you know, because, you know, it says, we crucify Jesus, we'll take Barabbas. Yeah. See, they had a choice. The Jewish people had a choice not to crucify Jesus. But they did it anyway, you know, and you know, they mocked him and all those kind of things. You can read it in the Word, or you can go rent The Passion of the Christ, or whatever. I guess I don't rent it. You can probably somewhere free online somewhere. But, I mean, you can see the Bible story. And Jesus looked at him and says, Father, don't hold us to their account. I love them. You love them. Says, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. But ultimately, if the Spirit of living God dwells on the inside of you, if you've seen you, you've seen God. Because wherever you walk in the room, God walks in the room because God is with you. Right. Actions speak louder than words. Well, the actions that Jesus did is he said, Father, forgive them. And he died for them. And he rose again for them. I mean, he did it all so we can have an eternal life. We know that we have record that Jesus didn't want to do it that way. He's a natural man. He even told the Lord, Father, if there be any other way, you know, let's do it that way. There was no other way. That was the way ultimately he could show forth God's love to all mankind. So we can show forth God's love to mankind. And I tell you what, we're not going to get people saved. We're not going to get people to change their life spewing out hate. All right, so there should be no hate in the 918. All right. And for some of you, that's our area code. You know, because you got to realize people now with cell phones, I mean, you know, they have different area codes, whatever. I know McKinnon's dope because yeah, she was doing something someone asked her, is it 918 area code? No, it's not. You know, so it's, you know, 918 is the area code here. The main one, actually, I guess we have a new one now, like 57 something. I don't know what that one is. But, you know, we shouldn't spit out hate. We shouldn't have the capacity to hate. There should be no capacity, because if God truly lives on the inside of me, I don't have capacity to hate. And so it's funny how I can jump up and down, so greater is he than me, he's in the world. You know, I'm victorious and all these kind of things. But when it comes to your love walk, you're like, yeah, I have trouble with my love walk. I mean, you know, so that's what I got out of 1 John 4. It's not just about us being victorious. It's about knowing the love of God's on the inside of us and about showing the world that love. I believe the one element that many Christians lack is compassion. And you cannot read the Gospels without seeing Jesus have compassion. So you can't do WWJD without compassion. And if you have compassion for people, you don't hate them. You feel sorry for them. And, you know, so here's what I did. In a nutshell, this is what Craig does. Not, you know, when someone does something, I make excuses for them. You know, well, they didn't mean it. They didn't mean to be mean. They didn't mean to be rude. They weren't thinking, you know, or whatever. I mean, if you have trouble loving them, make excuses for them. And you just go on. You know, Man, if you have an intimate knowledge of God, you're going to love everybody. And, my grandfather said, we didn't get to this first. I mean, this scripture got a whole other thing. Read 1 Corinthians 13 every day. 1 Corinthians 13 every day. It'll help you with your love walk. It'll help you with your, I mean, read 1 John 4 and go read the whole scripture. I mean, the whole chapter every day. But God is love. God dwells on the inside of me. So I have love on the inside of me. And I'm going to let that love shine to this lost and dying and hurting world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. And we thank you, Father, to help us every day show forth love to this world. We know, Father, a lot of people are going through a lot of tough times right now, and there's a lot of hate in this world. But Father God, help us to be a conduit of love to this lost and dying and hurting world. Help us to love this generation. Help us to love the people who don't even love us. Help us. We thank you, Father, every day that you'll bring people across our path that we can show forth the love of God to, that we can be a help to. Father, help us have the passion and compassion on this hurting world, Father. Father, we just pray that you'll help us every day to have more an intimate knowledge of God in our lives. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is a good God.